two once boring banks are now facing shareholder sell-offs as they struggle with scandal and fallout from questionable decisions and official accusations. The once obscure Knight Capital Group, the source of and victim of a major computer glitch last week, says it has found a buyer finally to end its nosedive, while British-based Standard Chartered Bank's troubles are just beginning. The bank is accused of laundering over $250 billion for Iranian banks over the last 10 years, allegedly with the support of upper management. Bank shares are plummeting in reaction, down more than 25%. The bank denies any wrongdoing. The New York State Department of Financial Services, which is suing the bank, claims these transactions made the U.S. financial system vulnerable to terrorists, and state officials claim Standard Chartered wiped their records clean of the illegal dealings so U.S. officials wouldn't know they ever happened. Joining me is Ted Truman, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He's also the co-author of Chasing Dirty Money, The Fight Against Money Laundering. Ted Truman, welcome to the program.
Well, good to be with you.
So, Ted, what is the temptation to do this kind of thing that Standard Chartered is accused of in the modern environment right now?
Well, the business is business, and so no doubt they made, assuming the accusations are correct, they made money and doing business with the Iranians, in particular in an environment over the last decade in which the Iranians had trouble dealing with foreign banks, and therefore they were willing to pay higher premiums, fees, to get access to their national banking system.
How typically are these kinds of money laundering schemes set up? Are there intermediaries that shield the institutions from the Iranians? So there's no specific kind of trail of meetings, et cetera?
Well, presumably initially the transactions were set up through normal business business contact. And again, it depends on the case of Iran. The law did not say you cannot have any contact with Iranians. It would just say you could not have any contact and do business with certain Iranian counterparties. What is alleged that it happened, that they did do business with those counterparties, and they had a mechanism by which you could erase the trail, so it was not clear that to anybody looking at their accounts or their that there had been a counterparty that was Iranian.
And part of the issue here is that if any of these Iran transactions over the course of a decade and involving, again, $250 billion were cleared in the United States, that was a violation of U.S. law. But a lot of people around the world dispute the U.S. approach to Iran. Oil is oil. Iran's got a lot of it. Is it possible that Standard Chartered simply viewed American policy toward Iran, attempting to isolate Iran, whatever its nuclear program, was just hogwash, and they decided to just sort of go ahead, bully the Americans?
Well, certainly some of the evidence that's been reported about that suggests that. There isn't always an issue of extraterritoriality in all this, but this was pretty carefully laid out in that it was dealing with U.S. dollar transactions through a bank located in the United States. So it's different than if these transactions had been routed exclusively through banks located outside the United States.
Talking with Ted Truman, who's a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, about the problems at the Standard Chartered Bank, which is selling off its shares down more than 25% as it faces accusations that it helped to launder money for Iran. Listen, Ted, to this comment from Ralph Silva, who's a banking industry commentator from the SRN Research Group. He says possibly there's a difference in banking culture between London and New York, and that Iran was able to exploit that in some way. Listen.
Standard Chartered assumed their dealings in Iran were good dealings unless proven otherwise, whereas the Americans wanted the bank to assume there was something going on that was bad before you assume that they're actually going right. So it's a perception on how to deal with customers. And the British organizations have always assumed innocence until guilt has been proven. And the Americans don't really like that when it comes to Iran.
Is that possibly an explanation of why this scandal happened in London and not in Geneva or even in New York?
Possibly. I think It certainly is true that Iran is a bigger issue for the United States than any other country besides Israel because of our history with Iran going back to 1979. The other feature is that Standard Charter, like HSBC, which is in similar hot water, another big British bank, its structure is partly is one of having banks around the world. So it's not so much a big London bank as it is a big global bank with headquarters in London. And therefore, it has a lot of local customer business, if you want to put it that way, whether in Africa or the Middle East or North Africa or Asia. And so it runs itself in a much more decentralized way than many other global financial institutions, which I think is probably one of the reasons why it got into trouble. Its policies, and actually you can download its policy statement on anti-money laundering, says, we seek to cooperate with everybody on these issues, among other things.
Indeed, and the regulations themselves, the regulators are decentralized in a sense that the New York State regulators could actually decertify Standard Chartered if these accusations are proved true. And the fact that the state of New York regulators decharter Standard Chartered Bank, it means it would not really be able to operate in the United States at all. Should the state?
Well, I think that's actually not true. I checked, and they have a branch, just like the New York branch, in San Francisco.
Aha! So they could get around it by dealing with
not as active, but it does have it, and they also have offices in a bunch of other states. So in order to throw the bank out of the country, right, they need the federal authorities to cooperate. And that was done in the mid-1990s with a major Japanese bank called Daiwa. But the important distinction there was that Daiwa essentially covered up its activities. And so the big question, I think, is the extent to which Standard Charter cooperates with the investigation, which is going on both at the state level and at the federal level. Now, and if they do so, and if they force some of their officials to walk the plank because they violated their own rules, then I think they're probably safe. If they essentially have been covering things up, then they have a big problem.
Ted Truman, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, on the future for British-based Standard Chartered Bank. Troubles just beginning on accusations it laundered over $250 billion for Iranian banks over a decade. Thanks so much, Ted.
Good to talk to you.